pursuit of conversation is supported by the generous donations of Rollo, Susie, Henrik, and Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
2212. This is Calm Card Ken trying to retrieve an ounce of salt per day. We were in the green room, and then it all went kablooey. Did we time out?
I don't know. I know nothing.
I know nothing? Do you see anything?
I couldn't hear you. Could you hear me?
No, it all is sent down to the deepest depths of the salt sea.
So it seems.
I was wondering if maybe there's a time limit in the green room.
If that would make sense. It may be true. It may be true.
How's the weather where you are? And are you getting into the salt water these days?
I've decided, yeah, I'm still going swimming. I've decided that it's that Geelong is the earthly paradise. It's so lovely here.
No deadly animals trying to take the life from you? Vipers and spiders and...
I got bitten by something the other day, and it made my foot swell up violently. But it seems to have mitigated a problem I was having with what we call Viking's disease.
Oh, so what's Viking's disease?
Oh, you'd have to look it up, but I think it's also sometimes called Dupuytren's disease, where your tendons start to thicken and get lumpy and shorten. It's common amongst people of Norwegian descent, of which I am one.
Only Norwegians? Doesn't affect Swedes? Doesn't affect Danes?
Yeah, people of Scandinavian descent, yeah.
I don't know if you have a dog in that fight about the Scandinavians, but apparently it can get a bit heated when you get into
it. It's interesting, isn't it, how the rulers of the world have managed to create so much division. Always fascinates me.
Even funnier when they're not of the same nationality and genetics as the people over whom they would pretend to rule.
Yeah.
You know, like... Victoria, again, we're going back to the history. I'm not even sure that's a woman, but Victoria would, grandmother of almost all of the major players in the First World War. they're all like her grandchildren or great grandchildren.
And just how evil were those guys? They're obviously traitors. They essentially created the circumstances to make the people that they were supposed to be caring for go out and kill each other. Awful. Just absolutely, fully awful people. Defying belief.
What do you think is going on right now where they're trying to leak this stuff and make people agitated and they can't even be stirred to be agitated about, hey, you know, bunch of pedophiles, bunch of cannibals, baby eaters, and people are like, yeah, I still got to go to my job.
Well, I think it's just to demonstrate to God how hopeless we are.
Do you think it's a lifting of a veil that the evil needs to be fully exposed?
Yes, I do.
I could see that. But what about the part where people come to God? What about, you know, getting people to say that's enough and we need to do better? Because I don't see the second part. I don't see the rejection of evil is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I think it's because, people have no view that there can be a God, you know, because we live on a spinning ball. which came into existence by accident. And people are not examining their own lives, and this is how it all works out. Narrow is the gate, and few of those who can make it through.
You're talking about a camel through the needle's eye?
I guess I am. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not really so much that. That's a slightly different thing. I really just mean that, you know, people think, basically they think we live on a spinning ball and refuse to think about it, examine the evidence, and even when it's raised with them, the possibility. I know many, you know, strong people that say they're Christians who just basically are Christians without believing the Bible, without even, you know, accepting the idea the Bible could possibly be true, which I find fascinating.
Yeah, there's so many questions I want to ask you. I guess the first one is, what do you think about the parable of the rich man who would follow Jesus until he was told that, okay, give up all your worldly possessions and come follow me? And then he was very sad and went away.
Yeah. Well, that's us.
Do you think that monetary considerations and worldly possessions and materials are the idol that people worship instead of following God?
Yes.
How do you deal with that in your life?
Well, I just assume everything I have is temporary anyway. I mean, I've been rich and poor so many times now, it's, you know, I've just accepted. And, you know, somehow it's never mattered. You know, the Heavenly Father has always protected me. I've always had everything.
You've never gone hungry? You've never gone unhoused?
Well, sorry, I've gone hungry, but not to the... I mean, if I go hungry, it's because I need to fast or whatever. It's
That's another one that I'd like to ask you about. Do you think fasting is a good practice?
I do it regularly.
That's awesome. And, please teach me. And,
well, it's just a case of, you know, going without food for, you know, up to 7 days is what I do.
Is it only without solid food, or do you also restrict your liquid intake?
No, I don't restrict. I have salty water.
Okay.
With a bit of lemon in it. The idea is that after 3 days, that the cell division stops. And during that time, your body can remedy any ills.
You believe in ketosis? That you start to burn up the fat that you've stored?
Yeah, that's what happens. And during that period of not eating, your body will stop dividing. The cells will stop dividing, which is the same effect people get from chemotherapy.
Have you seen anyone go through that that chemotherapy?
Yeah, my mother and a friend of mine did it when he was young. Very, it's just, again, another example of just pure evil as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, just poisoning people, just making them suffer.
Yeah, you know, and when you think, you know, let's just go through the logic of what I just said. The whole purpose of chemotherapy is to stop cell division. And the fact that you can stop cell division simply by not eating, you know, to me just shows the whole thing is a fraud.
It's a very profitable fraud.
And profitable for who?
For the people. Can you imagine, just to think back 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, how much money has been given, so-called, to fight cancer? And not even taking into, you know, all of it, what hospitals charge and doctors and all of that, when I think about the profit motive, I can't imagine why those evil people behind it would ever stop it. Why would they ever stop it? Why would they ever say, you know what? It's good. We're done. We can do this. No more cancer. Go live your life. It's evil. And I can't think that way, but they will definitely not want to stop it. Why would they stop it? Very, very lucrative. It's a filthy lucrative.
But again, the people that profit from it are not the people that have created the system.
Well, I'll go back to this as I do. A lot of people will say, I'm saying people, the people behind it. We don't even know if there are people behind it. This is one of the things that separates me and puts me apart, that they say, well, you know, the guys at the top are the humans or the people.
I don't know
that that's who's behind it. Could be powers. It could be dragons. It could be demons.
It is exactly those things. It is dragons and demons. Right. The dragons are the fallen angels.
And that's the problem with imagining the way that you or I, as a living man, would say, this is how I would think and this is how I would feel. Compunction or remorse doesn't apply. It does not apply to those who are not a living man like you or I am.
That's right.
So these assumptions cause a lot of trouble in understanding when people try to say, well, it must be that, you know, the guy above or the guy above that is a psychopath, a sociopath. That is an assumption, which is a limited thing, which stops people from considering how much bigger and greater the whole thing could be. And I apologize.
Well, that's my view. What you've just said is, I'm not sure if you realize it, but that is exactly my worldview. Yeah.
Yes. What I like about, and I've said it, and I'll say it again, what I like about your worldview is you're not being unscientific. You keep testing it. You keep trying it. You've got a model. And you're saying, if anybody can disprove it, let me know.
Yes, that would be helpful.
And
yeah.
You've got a few people who take you up on it. And everything I've heard, they say it's made their lives better. And you've got some people who don't take you up on it, and their lives didn't get better. Mm. So you're on the right path in my book, Frank.
Well, we can only pray that we are on the right path, can't we, Ken? It's all we can do.
We can keep testing and trying. What I love about your experience is you came from that whole very highly educated scientific background. You lived it. You worked it. You did it. And you say to me, and I'm saying to me because I'm selfish, but you could say to anybody else here, this didn't work for me. This is working for me, and I'm going with this now, and that's what I get. That's what I learned. That's what inspires me.
I guess
go back to university, study nuclear physics, and, you know, do that, you'd be a liar because it didn't work out. It wasn't correct. But you're saying, yeah, I did that. I'm telling you it didn't work. Now try this. I love it. Love it.
Well, you know, as I said, the reality is that what I did, I still make my living out of being a mining engineer. And that in that world, we assume the world is flat and stationary. Just for 1 minute. I'm just going to have a discussion with someone.
Okay. I'll be waiting. I'll mute too.
I am back.
Choo choo 1-2, can you hear me? Over.
Receiving loud and clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so that's all. That's really the, all of this stuff I guess about the spinning ball thing is just, you know, especially for the guys who are in the same profession as me, who have acknowledged that they have got no evidence at all of spinning ball and never use it, still won't accept the idea. They all just keep saying, yeah, and that's because, and that's because, and that's because. So amusing.
What did you think about that whole thing with John Laban and saying that the final experiment, and they went down to Antarctica, and that proves it's you know, forever and over done? Do you remember?
Yeah, for me, I've just now just he's off my radar now. I don't need to worry about him anymore.
Yes. The thing is,
there is no point. There is no point in me arguing with that man or that. Well, it's really a business as far as I can tell.
Is it incorporated? Is it registered?
Yeah, it's a registered business. Yeah.
I joke. Is that?
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
So I'm not too familiar with Joel's server, Truth Meets. I know on Fakeologists, they have the interruptions.
I think there's a recording being made of us now as we speak.
Okay. Is it on podcast? Could I get the download later?
It'll be on his website, yeah.
Okay, I've got to check that out.
So that's all. I just assume, you know, because it's, as I said, to me, when you get to that level of purported skepticism that he is operating at.
If you're the world's leading skeptic, why would you trust these shady, dodgy videos where it doesn't even seem like people are in a cold place? You know, they've got to use vapes to imagine that you've got, you know, your breath condensing on the cold air. It just, I couldn't gather. I have not been able to get my head around the change in JLB from the person a few years ago who was skeptical of everything to now he's skeptical of the skeptics. But I could be off the mark.
Well, as far as I can tell, you're completely on the mark. That's okay. You know, at some point, as I said to you, I make it very clear what my view is on the assumption that, you know, if people are interested, they'll disprove my claim. You know, it's a very blatant claim. I claim that no one makes any practical use of the spinning ball model for any purpose whatsoever. Yeah, I would have thought that was an easily disproved claim.
And I think in your engineering experience, how far have you gone in the minds that there would have had to have been some curvature? There would have had to have been.
I've done models that were, you know, 30 kilometers, 35 kilometers in extent.
Yes.
But even at Mount Newman, you know, the largest single iron ore place that I was one of the senior mine planning engineers there, we assumed that the Earth is flat. We never detected any curve. And there should have been a curve of, there should have been from one end of the pit to the other, you should have had a 1.5 meter lump in the road to obstruct the view, but that never occurred. You know, it's just, it's all just nonsense. It's not possible.
In a moment, I will probably log off before I get I am quite now. But
you've got all robot-y on me.
Oh, sorry. Let me redo that.
Are you receiving over?
Again, any better?
Yeah, it's better. Yeah.
That's good. If I guess we don't have a big audience now, but if you were to recommend which version of the Bible people might start reading, do you have any particular Bible version that you would recommend?
Well, I guess the Geneva Bible, but really the Bibles, there's Bibles coming out that have all 88 books in it, because the King James Version cut out 22 books. You know, really,
is it reconciling the Protestants and the Catholics and which ones are to and are not to be included?
Yeah, all of that stuff. You know, really, it's all of that stuff.
Question, do they include Enoch?
The 88 books include Enoch, Jubilees, Jasher, all the books that were left out.
Gospel of Thomas?
I don't know about that. I don't think
that's all right. I'm being cheeky. Don't mind me.
I think the Gospel of Thomas is a, there was a group of people. Well, you know, again, there's a group of people that think, yeah, God exists, but he's not a good guy. And I was one of those people.
What do you think about the so-called heresy that the God of the Old Testament is not the same God as the God of the New Testament?
Yeah, I don't share that view. I think it's very clear.
So the people point to how vengeful and jealous the Old Testament God is, and how merciful and loving the New Testament God is.
Yeah, so that's because people don't read the Book of Enoch. They don't understand how all flesh got corrupted. All flesh was corrupted when the sons of God, the angels, forsook their station and had children with the daughters of Adam.
Have you heard the idea that the angels petitioned God to give them free will as humans were given? Do you know where I'm going with this? Have you heard this?
Well, they had free will.
Well,
that's how they.
My understanding is that originally the angels serve God without any ability to not obey, but that.
Well, I haven't heard that. The only thing I can ascertain that I've read is that a third of the angels chose not to obey God. So that means they must have had free will.
This is the rebellion. And Lucifer leads the rebellion.
Azazel or Satan. He's described in the Book of Revelation as, if I read that part, all the names get joined into one.
Okay. It's kind of like God has many names.
Yeah. So,
well, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Let me just read it. If I can get it. Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
So who is the angel binding the serpent?
Michael.
Okay. That's in Revelation.
Yeah. Well, they don't say that, but it's basically the most powerful of the seraphim.
We've got Michael, we've got Gabriel. Who's the other one? They're the archangels that do get mentioned by name. I'm sure there are a lot of other ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raphael, maybe?
Don't know. I'd be mixing them up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'm guessing.
I had the same thought as you. You said it aloud. It would be nice if we were close by and we could just sit down and just read scripture and discuss it. That would be nice. But this is the second best thing.
I find the Bible now to be a completely coherent story. I don't find any contradictions in the Bible anymore, which I used to think were all crazy. You know, why did God do this? Why did God allow that? It's because the people that God asked Moses and Joshua to destroy were giants. They were corrupted flesh. In fact, they were the children of. So, are you familiar with the story of Ham uncovering his father's nakedness?
There are several interpretations of that. And
well, this is the interpretation
is about Noah and his three sons, who are the only humans to emerge from that world-destroying event. It is a very important to understanding how all the nations of the world came from those three sons. And there are 70
Here is what I'm about to tell you.
I'll be quiet. I'll listen.
So the interpretation which I think is correct is that essentially Noah's wife, his first wife, didn't choose to come on the ark, and Noah took another wife who called Naamah. And Naamah was a Canaanite who had become pious. Right? And her son Ham was also going to be, I think as I understand it, Ham was the son of Noah and Naamah, where the other two sons were the sons of his first wife. And his first wife was not a Canaanite. And what happened is when Ham uncovered the nakedness of his father, that actually means that Ham had sex with his mother, Naamah. And because both of those people were Canaanites, you know, had Canaanite blood, their child, when Noah says there's a curse on that child, it's because that child is going to beget the giants in the new age, the Canaanites. And they are that's the reason that giants came back again after the flood, was because Ham had sex with his mother, and they reinforced the genetics of the genetics have been largely wiped out.
Well, that's very interesting, and I would like to look into that. And if you're not too opposed to it, I'll leave you with one, two, or three things that you may like to look into about this story.
Yeah.
First of all, there's disagreement about what it means that the son of Noah violated his father in the tent after he came and planted the vineyard and got himself drunk.
Yeah.
And there is the idea that he looked upon him, his father, in his nakedness.
Yeah, so that
and
is
there is the idea that he violated the wife. But there's another idea, have you heard this? That he castrated his father.
Yes, I've heard that.
And that kind of goes along with some of the Greco-Roman ideas about Zeus and Jupiter and Kronos and everything about castrating the father.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm doubtful of that is simply because of the the metaphor of uncovering a man's nakedness.
Yes,
is well known in that time. Uncovering a man's nakedness means to take his wife, to have sex with his wife.
Well, it's like if you know the story of the sons of.
And the other thing is it fits. It fits. Yes. You know, you can. It then explains how we ended up with giants after the flood when we were told they couldn't survive.
Well, I just saw something today, by the by, about the giant trees. And I'm not familiar with this. You may know it better than I do. That the giant trees were cut down by angels to prevent giants from climbing them to escape the flood in the time of Noah. First time I saw it was today.
That story is contained in the other 22 books that were left out.
Interesting. But I have another one for you. Do you know about the giant Og, king of Bashan?
Yes.
Do you know how he could have lived as long as he lived before the flood and after the flood? Have you heard this story?
Well, you know, these people had supernaturally long lives.
Yes, but he was a giant in the time before the flood, and he's living after the flood for centuries. Have you heard this?
Yeah, so that's the same story as the Gilgamesh. That giant that survived that is Gilgamesh.
It could be, but I heard a different explanation.
Okay.
When Noah built the ark, Og, the giant, found the ark and held on to it for 40 days, for 40 nights. He actually just held on the outside. He was, you know, like something out of, what was that, Cape Fear movie with Robert De Niro. And he was there, and that's how he did it. When all his giant brethren were killed in the flood, he held on to the ark and therefore was able to go and procreate. You never heard that?
No.
I think it's an interesting idea.
If you can find an actual, you know, if from the 88 books or any other source, that thing. But I think what that story that you're talking about is similar to the Gilgamesh story. I think Gilgamesh survived that way as well.
Did you ever listen to Donovan? You like old songs, Donovan?
Yeah.
And yes, Sunshine Superman, I'll Dive for Your Pearls in the Sea. He's referencing Gilgamesh, which I always thought was interesting.
Mm. Well, you know, all of the, in my opinion, all of the music that we have is basically, you know, a reference to the Bible. It's in reverse, admittedly. You know, they're promoting the other story.
I think there's a difference between those who get promoted and their message gets out and those who never make it. You know, there are very few organic singers, songwriters that will make it unless it's done. It's not that they have any lack of talented writers and singers. It's just, okay, who's going to get through the filter? And if you get through the filter, they say, why don't you do a song about this? Oh, no, this song's not a hit. That's what I think.
I agree. That's entirely what I think too, Ken. Entirely.
I just enjoy talking.
We all live in a yellow submarine is very clearly a description of us living in a terrarium.
I go back and forth with esoteric Rick about this because he thinks Paul McCartney's the same guy all the way. And I say there's no way after 66 is the same person.
I agree with you. I just don't think it's the same guy.
Yes. And I'd just like to talk more with you whenever you're available.
Yeah, my pleasure, Ken, always. You know that.
Thank you so much. I should probably go. I'm about halfway through this bottle of wine, and I'm not going to make sense in a moment. But you got any questions, ask me questions. You want me to ask you questions, I'll ask you questions. I don't feel so welcome.
I'm intrigued. No, I'm intrigued about how you got to be here.
How could it not have been otherwise? I've been searching for people like you. Here we go with the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Two, two, and, one, two.
Welcome back. We've got Palm Card Ken and an ounce of salt per day, aka Frank the Salt Guy. And I have just asked Ken, how did he become a skeptic?
If you go back to American politics and the idea that this person is the rightfully elected president of the United States by the people, and at some point I said, no, can't be. If you go back even earlier, the idea of 2001 in the narrative just doesn't make sense. If you go back a little earlier, it was let's talk about this moon landing. So it took a while, but seeing all those things cumulatively, there came a point that I said, this is not true. Like, this is so transparently false. And here I am.
Yeah.
Before I go, there was a charge laid against you. And that bothered me. And it was that an ounce of salt per day, Frank, is intellectually dishonest. I don't know if you remember this. This was a few years ago.
No.
And I said, I don't think so. I don't agree. And other people said, yeah, they think so. Do you remember that?
No. I wasn't involved in it, so I don't know.
No, well, you were involved because it was in a conversation, you and John LeBon. And John LeBon says you're intellectually dishonest.
Oh, well, so I can't
remember what the subject was.
I can automatically. There was some stuff about. I have the view that he was making a threat about my business, that he would damage my business, and I accepted his view that he could damage my business, and so I stopped attacking him directly.
Well, here we are on the recording, apparently, and I'm just saying I've never known you to be dishonest with me, and I've never known you to be non-intellectual. So for what that's worth, you're intellectual and you're honest. That's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Ken.
Yeah. Yep. There's a lot of drama and things that go with the characters, you know, but I don't know. I'm just a fan of yours.
Well, in the end, it's, you know, you can attack the messenger or you can just listen to the message. I mean, in the end, we really, if I'm intellectually dishonest and what I said about as everyone assumes the earth is flat and motionless is incorrect, then that should be easily to demonstrate that is incorrect, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, people try to say the army snipers, we got to take into effect the Coriolis effect on their bullets when they're shooting from so many hundred meters and all that stuff. Give me a break.
Yeah, there's no evidence. I mean, the way that a sniper works out how to fire a rifle is to fire the shot and make corrections based on the where the shot lands.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't go, oh, I've got to make this calculation. That's nonsense.
But they say it, and from an official source, and people believe it, and they use it as an argument
I don't actually think that stuff about the rifles going and stuff is actually from an official source.
That's true. They never go deeper.
It's just a claim made on a. It's a bit like if you try and find out how the atmosphere is contained on the Earth by gravity, you can never find any mathematics. You can't find out why people say that the Martian atmosphere is so many percentage of the Earth's atmosphere because of gravity. Well, what's the mathematical formula?
Can I go you one step further? How do they know what's on Mars or what's on Venus? They'll tell us these things, and people won't blink or bat an eyelid.
Well, because they've got a
who's on Mars, who's on Venus, measuring that. It boils my blood.
Well, you know, it's got all this stuff, and you know, the parachute was able to land the thing, even though. There's no air, so how could the parachute work? How can a helicopter on Mars work?
Well, obviously, it's from an official government source, so how dare you question it?
Et cetera. You know, there's no, as I said, there's no, aerodynamic equation that can explain any of these things. It's all just, you know, a load of hoo-ha.
It's bollocks. Let's say what it is. It's bollocks.
They just keep escalating the story using Goebbels' well-known technique. If you make the lie big enough, that's it.
And I've got disturbing news, but what's going on in the classrooms these days is children don't even get to think. It's all outsourced. Ask AI. Answer AI. There's no paper, there's no lecture, there's no listening. Well, why do we even need humans in a classroom?
Yeah, it's all just, you know, gone completely mad, really, hasn't it?
It is. Did you see the Mr. Natural cartoon I sent for you?
Yeah.
I'm smiling. That's you in a good way.
Well, you know, hopefully we'll get the opportunity to meet someday, Ken.
It will be nice. You go on the World Karaoke Tour, I'm going to meet you.
Absolutely.
The way that the economy's going these days, though, I don't know if I can get to
it. It's not an economy thing. It's just a deliberate policy.
Take wars with real price consequences for the proles.
That's it. It's not price consequences. It's they're going to stop it altogether. You're not going to have an airline industry of people just zizzing around all over the place. Those days are gone. It's no different to what that guy that rang in to the show, Tim and I were doing the other day, where the guy said, you know, we had all these perfectly good airships and they just took the whole thing off us for no reason.
Same thing with the trams and the streetcars.
Trams and streetcars.
Automobiles.
Yeah. It's just, you know, at some point people have to recognize that the levers are being pulled by people that do not like us.
I don't think the others are going to recognize it. I think we're in the vast minority.
In the tiny minority rather than the vast minority.
Tiny minority, yeah. And you could even have your family or our family or Ab's family or Rick's family and they'll just say, oh, dad, oh, you know, there you go again. Right, yeah. Yeah. So in your own house, in your own household, they can't see it. Man, I've got to put my faith in God, because I don't put my faith in the men around me. Just saying.
No.
It's been great talking to you.
And always, it's been great talking to you, Ken. It's very...
I do it anytime. A couple of the regulars are talking about leaving Discord, you know, with the things that are changing. But if you know...
I don't know if they keep saying that things are going to happen. If at some point, I'm not likely to get an electronic identity. So if you know,
I'm not going to do Face ID and all that stuff. So I'll enjoy talking as long as I can with people like Forrest.
And then we'll just find another way. There are other programs, you know, you can WhatsApp and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. We're on the same page.
People are going to make choices, really.
Isn't that the truth every day?
Yeah. Well, and so that's really what that, you know, what you were talking about, the rich man.
Yep.
You know, we are all effectively rich people now.
What are you willing to throw away, and who are you going to follow?
Yeah.
Thanks, Frank. I'll talk again soon, I hope.
Yeah, good night.
Take care.
Bye.